Some of you may not know Peter Sagal is the host of NPR's news quiz program, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is heard on many of these NPR stations. Most of you, though, wake up to the voice of Carl Castle, Morning Edition newscaster, who also serves as official judge and scorekeeper on Wait, Wait. The two of them and the rest of the crew are in town this week to do a special Washington, D.C. edition of the show. We thought it would be interesting to give you all the opportunity to ask them to explain how they develop their take on the news every week. If you're a fan or have ideas for what they call their oddly informative brand of news or oddly informative brand of humor, give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Both Peter and Carl are here with us now in Studio 3A. Thanks for joining, especially Carl. I understand we're cutting into your nap time.
That's the middle of my nap time. Yeah.
So we can understand if something's... never mind.
If you hear me snoring, you know what happened.
Peter, news satire, Washington, D.C., you seem to come to it with the source.
Yes, exactly. I feel like the characters in King Solomon's Mines who come through the foliage and see before them the great treasure that they've been looking for. It's El Dorado for stupid things.
And you've come to the El Dorado of stupid
shows. I have. I've come to the very epicenter, the holy of holies. I had to remove my shoes before walking in here to Studio 3A because more stupid things have been said here.
You usually broadcast the program out of Chicago, though you travel a lot to many parts of the country. Do you think being outside the Beltway helps you shape your brand of news?
I think so. I mean, to the extent that we are able to be representative of the normal human being, insofar as that's ever possible for myself.
And soon you're going to have one on the show.
I know, yes. We're looking forward to that once the authorities allow it. To a certain extent, as you know, Neil, people inside the Beltway talk a lot about things that are of interest to them, maybe more so disproportionate. We're just plain old simple folk in Chicago eating Vienna sausages, rooting for the Cubs.
Well, Carl, you're the sort of you're the switch hitter in all of this. Of course, you're on the program every week, but you're a serious journalist. You do the news on Morning Edition every day.
Yes, but I have fun on this program on the weekend, on Thursday evening when we record it in Chicago or elsewhere in the country, like we'll be doing this tomorrow evening in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of fun. It's a good break. It's getting away from the seriousness of everyday news, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for me, and hop on this program, which is described as NPR without the dignity.
Yes. One of these days, Carl's going to get confused, sleep deprivation, and do the morning newscast as Anna Nicole Smith. And the question is, will the world notice?
We want to give you all a chance to talk with this crew from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And Amber is on the line with... Amber's from Flagstaff, Arizona. Carl, you're the person whose voice is on all those answering machines around the country. Why don't you answer Amber's call?
Okay. Hello, this is Carl Castle, NPR News, and right now we have Amber on the phone from Arizona. Hi, Amber.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing? How are things in Arizona?
They're beautiful today, and it's an honor to be on the air with you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I
mostly have a question about the writers on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, mostly because I wanted to know how much... Peter, you're involved, and where you guys get your ideas, because it is pretty clever. We listen to it every week, so...
Well, I'm glad. Well, the show is written sort of collaboratively by our staff, which is myself, and if I can run through the list, Rod Abid, Amanda Gibson, Emily Ecton, and Mike Danforth with our executive producer, Doug Berman. And we do it all together. We spend a lot of time in front of the computers trying to find interesting stuff in the news to talk about, and then sometime around Wednesday, we just give it up and just make it all up. Just start pulling stuff out of our... word processors, and end up with... No, actually, the show is written by all of us. I'm sort of the de facto head writer because I have to say most of it. But then what's interesting is what happens is we tape the show in front of a live audience, and basically a lot of the stuff that we write goes out the window in favor of stuff our panelist thinks up. Basically, what we do is we take a lot of material, we write it, and then we throw it against a wall, and we see what sticks.
And then you do tape the program, and if something doesn't work, you cut it out.
If something doesn't work, or if something will finally get us fired, or if something will finally bring down the wrath of the FCC upon us, we tend, because we like our jobs, to then cut it out of the show. It's actually an incentive for people to come and see us live when they're in Chicago just about every week, or when we're in your city, as we are in Washington this week, because It's kind of wait uncorseted. It's wait in all its horrible glory. And people thrill to that kind of slow car wreck of a radio show.
And let me say, I think when you come out with your poster of the program, it's going to say, "Pretty clever, Amber in Flagstaff."
Exactly. So, thank you, Amber.
got
the blurb on the poster. We're talking with Peter Sagal and Carl Kassel of NPR's Wait, Don't Tell Me, heard on many of these NPR stations. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. Candy is with us from Silverton, Oregon.
Hello.
Hi, Candy. Go ahead.
Well, I'm curious to know, what does Carl tend to say on the answering machines, and how long of a dissertation is he willing to do for first prize?
Well, we let the winners write their own messages. And I've done messages that will go almost a minute long, and some that go just two lines. So whatever the listener wants, the winner wants, I'll do.
So do any of them begin with, "Call me Ishmael"?
Not yet.
I have to tell you, I play you in my shop, in my business as an antique store, and people love it. You made fans by people just standing here for 30 seconds and listening.
Are you making any sales because people stand around a little longer?
Listen and they laugh, and
that's
then they
good.
Walk out.
Oh, sorry.
The walking out part, I think Peter's used to that.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Candy.
So we have Candy and Amber. Is Tiffany on line three?
No, it's Kathy. Kathy is on line two, and she's with us from San Ramon in California.
Hi. I wanted to let you know that your program is responsible for my 10-year-old son's first NPR driveway moment.
Really? What was that?
When you had the long-winning Jeopardy contestant on.
Ken Jennings.
And you had the three questions that were going to stump enemy, and he wasn't going to be able to answer them.
Yes.
And we had to sit in the car in the hardware store parking lot until we heard the end of that segment. My son was not going to let us get out of the car until we heard everything.
Hmm. That's great. That was actually a fun time. We had our special guest on that show, Ken Jennings, famous Jeopardy champion. We tried to come up with three questions that Ken Jennings himself, a three-time Jeopardy,
74-time Jeopardy champion.
Thank you. Would not be able to answer. And I believe the questions were something along the lines of, what would you do if People magazine named you the sexiest man alive? What do you do if you wake up in a bed with someone whose name you can't remember? And something about NASCAR, if I'm not mistaken. And
yes.
Amazingly enough, he won anyway. That's how smart he is.
Did he pose his answers in the form of a question?
He did not. He's very good at adjusting to different circumstances. He's very spry that way. Can I say that I was afraid, Kathy, that you said that you were going to say that we were responsible for your child? Because
no.
I was like, a lot of people listen to us while doing uninteresting things to pass the time, but I wouldn't want people, I want people to concentrate on the task at hand. That's what I'm saying, okay?
Well, Kathy, we wish your child many driveway moments in the future.
Well, keep up the good work.
Thanks very much. Let's go to Tom, and Tom's calling from Cincinnati.
Yes, good afternoon. I wanted to ask your guests whether they are part of what Stephen Colbert calls the liberal media.
Are we, in fact, the liberal media?
I don't know. Carl, are you the liberal media?
I don't think so.
I keep applying to the liberal media. I have a problem. I cannot get into either the liberal media or the worldwide Jewish conspiracy. And it's bothering me, frankly, because I think there are benefits. There are membership cards. I believe there are discounts to be had.
Yeah. Yep.
And nobody will let me in. Now, here's what I say. People sometimes complain to us because they say, you always make fun of the Republicans. And when are you going to make fun of the Democrats? And I always say the same thing. I say, if you would be so kind as to elect a Democrat to anything of importance, I would be happy to make fun of that person at that time. And then they say, okay, thanks.
And I say, you should have been around when Bill Clinton was president.
Yes, that's also true.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Tom, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just have a few seconds left, Peter, but you always try to, when you travel around the country, get some special guests. Are you lining up President Bush?
We wish, I think President has had his fill of comedians after last weekend. No, we're very excited because our guest at tomorrow night's show at the GW University Listener Auditorium is Mayor Anthony Williams of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're a baseball fan, so I'm going to tell you it's
going
to be all Nationals for the whole hour.
And the Lerner Group.
The Lerner Group. That's great.
Them.
They got them an owner. Can they get them some starting pitching? That's the question,
well,
isn't it?
Well, $450 million for the team. So even major commercial real estate developer might be a little strapped to come up with money for a relief pitcher at this point. Anyway, Peter Sagal and Carl Kassel of NPR's Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is heard on many of these NPR stations. Thanks so much for coming around. Good luck with the show.
Thank you, Neil.
Thanks,
good to
Neil.
Be here.
I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.